Hey, it's the Law Dog and Rooster Show. I'm Rooster.
I'm the Law Dog.
How y'all doing today? Good. All right, so as we have mentioned on a previous episode, we looked at the top selling artists of all time.
Found out we were getting ripped off to some degree.
Yes. In that episode, I used data to point out that selling albums does not equate to actually creating our music, in that the music industry repackages songs over and over again to sell music, and we as fans buy these songs over and over again. Isn't that right, Neil Diamond?
Exactly.
So in this episode, we again look at the top, some of the top music artists of all time, but on a, kind of like a royalty hierarchical basis. So we dub this portion of the podcast the Rock and Roll Royalty. So the natural progression of a band goes something like this. You like listening to music, right? And you might like a specific instrument. You obtain that instrument, you learn to play it, maybe get good at it. You find people that play other instruments and form a band together. You write songs, you play those songs live in front of people. If your band is any good, you play in larger venues in front of more people. And then you realize playing before, or opening for, a more popular band gets you more exposure to potential fans, right?
That's the way it's supposed to work.
And then if you are really good, you are the popular band. And other bands are opening for you. And at this point, you are probably nearing a professional musician. But not necessarily. Because you could just ask any talented but struggling singer-songwriter in Nashville about this as they list the specials for the day and take your food order. I jest, but seriously, there are some amazingly talented musicians out there in Nashville that just need a break or two or three or four. So, for fun, I wanted to look at all the top artists of all time and which of these artists is the ultimate headliner. So that's kind of our point for today, is who is the ultimate headliner. In other words, between two artists, who would be the headliner and who would be the opener? In this discussion, let's suppose that each band or artist is at the peak of their popularity and peak music ability. So we are talking about Elvis from the 50s and 60s, the Beatles from the 60s, Led Zeppelin from the 70s, Michael Jackson from the 80s, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to try to get our friend Travis on the phone and see if he can join us. I might have to repeat some of this, but let's see what happens when we try this out.
Yeah, let's try to get Travis and get some input from him on what he thinks is going on here.
There might be some static while we Oh, look at that.
This Travis?
Travis, welcome to the Law Dog and Rooster Show, man.
How's it going?
All right, how are you?
Can you hear us all right?
Good, man. What's that?
Can you hear us all right?
Yeah, I can hear you pretty good.
All right. I am Rooster, the other part of Law Dog and Rooster. It's good to meet you, Travis.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Okay, so I'm going to repeat some of this for you specifically because we were trying to do a little bit of an intro, but the idea behind this is this segment is called Rock and Roll Royalty. And the idea is, who is the ultimate headliner? And you could think of it like, you know, we have all these music festivals, Pilgrimage Festival, Bonnaroo, Lollapalooza.
Right.
It has all these genres of music, right? And it doesn't, and we're just trying to figure out, like, if you take all of the artists of all time and you say you're going to have a festival, who would be the ultimate headliner? Like, who would open for who? So I kind of have a bracket. I have a bracket set up, and I just picked some artists of, you know, what I would think is the greatest selling artist of all time or greatest artist of all time. So we're just going to go, and the idea is I'm going to throw out two artists, and then we're going to have a debate or discussion about who would open for who. So, of course, but the thing is, and here's the trick, Let's suppose that each band or artist is at their peak popularity and okay. peak music ability. So we're talking Elvis from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, you got it. Led Zeppelin from the 70s okay. and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. So we, I guess we'll just begin. So, again, this is like a bracket style.
Okay.
So you can... If you want to expand on your vote, you can do that. Or if you just like, it's a no-brainer, it's this person, we'll move on. And what we'll do is, so Travis, you and Josh, if you want to do it this way, you and Josh can debate it and decide. And I will only vote if it's a tiebreaker. How about that?
Works for me.
Yeah, I receive it. It's all good.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure I have a good volume on you. Okay. So we'll start off with, in the A group, the Beatles versus Jimi Hendrix. Who would open for who?
Go ahead, Travis.
I would say Jimi Hendrix would open for the Beatles.
I agree. Not because I necessarily like the Beatles better than Hendrix, but I just think if you look at the height of their popularity... I just think it has to be that way.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's how it. I saw Paul McCartney one time, and after seeing Paul McCartney, I was like, okay, this is if I could ever see the Beatles, it would have been great. My mom saw the Beatles, and my uncle saw Jimi Hendrix, so they both said both were great. But that was years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, there's Jimi Hendrix. It's like what was one with the guitar. It's like it was just another appendage to his body.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the Beatles, it's the Beatles. Okay. All right. So the Beatles move on. We have Pink Floyd versus Guns N' Roses.
Oh, man. All right. Okay. At the height. Go ahead, Travis.
I'd go Pink Floyd because
Pink Floyd is the headliner or Pink Floyd opening for the Guns N' Roses?
Pink Floyd would be the headliner. After seeing it, I saw Roger Waters last year, and that's the first time I've seen any type of Pink Floyd experience, whether it be him or David Gilmour or anybody like that. But I think just after seeing that show and just the musical effect it had, just that at their time, which they're different. Back when they were, at their prime too, I would have to say them. Although Guns N' Roses for the late '80s up until probably the early '90s was really, I was really young then, but I remember having the poster I got from the fair and things like that and stuff like that that I had, and they were pretty cool too. But I'd have to go with Floyd.
Yeah, I agree with you too. I think both of those bands are really good bands in their own right. But I think when you're talking about royalty, I mean, Pink Floyd definitely has to be the headliner on that one.
Yeah, because, that's one thing I thought might play into this, and I agree with you, but was egos. Axl Rose, if it was up to Axl Rose, he would not open for anybody. But that's, because then there are going to be others in this bracket where even as big as they are, I don't think they have an ego enough to where they would be like, oh, no, I'm not playing this show unless I'm the headliner. But anyways, I agree. We'll move on.
All Pink, right, Pink Floyd, Floyd moves on.
Pink Floyd moves on. All right, next one in the A group, Bruce Springsteen versus Fleetwood Mac.
Go ahead, Travis.
I'd go with the Boss. The his show, I never have seen Fleetwood Mac live in any of their like formations or any recent years either. But seeing Bruce like for 3.5 hours, like it's just constant energy the whole time, and the man never quits on stage. And the crowd is just from everything he has, his shows were amazing, and just like I said, just a ton of energy, and it's just he gives it his all up there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I've never been a big Fleetwood Mac fan, but then I've never been a big Bruce Springsteen fan either necessarily, but I agree with Travis. I think if one of those has to be the headliner, it's got to be Springsteen.
All right. And I actually went online and found all of the kind of nicknames, like whether it's King of Rock or King of Pop or, of course, in this case, The Boss. So I might try to mention those as we go along. All right, so The Boss moves on. Next, we have Led Zeppelin versus Johnny Cash. Two totally different music genres. But you got to think about, so here they are trying to organize a music festival. Bonnaroo, Pilgrimage Festival, Lollapalooza. They have these two artists and their peak music and peak popularity. Who would open for
them? All right, I got to say this. I've got to say that Johnny Cash opens for Led Zeppelin. But the reason is because I think if you're going to do that, you've got to take into account music style. And it would just seem very odd to me to have somebody like Led Zeppelin playing their set, and then you go to Johnny Cash. Like energy-wise, it seems like you're going backwards, not forwards, you know? So I just don't think it flows. So I think by necessity, Cash has to open for Led Zeppelin. What do you think, Travis?
Yeah, I would agree. I love Cash and his body of work. It speaks for itself, and as far as him being just kind of an icon for country and rock and just, I think, music in general, Led Zeppelin is still one of those groups that people are still today are wanting them to get back together just for one concert with arena or whatever that would be. But I think Zeppelin probably is, you know, for a rock experience, I don't know that you could. I've never seen Zeppelin, never had the opportunity just because of my age, really. But I've had a chance to see Robert Plant a couple times, and seeing Plant just by himself it's kind of magical too, kind of cool. So I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to have the whole remaining group together. And I've seen John Paul Jones a couple times, but I would say Zeppelin because just their catalog early 70s to right around the 80-ish era, I get 80s. Around 1980, probably. It's just so good.
Yeah.
And Travis, I don't know if you, on our last episode, I stripped out all of the greatest hits and live albums and Led Zeppelin. If you look at just studio albums, Led Zeppelin was the top selling artist of all time. So, kind of like what you're saying, the body of work from the 70s is just incredible. Just with those studio albums alone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're moving on to Group D. We have James Brown versus Prince.
Oh, James Brown has got to open for Prince.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Period. Go ahead, Travis.
I got to see James Brown the second year of Bonnaroo before he passed away, I think, a couple years later. And the James Brown show was awesome. That's a hard one. Because his live show, just from the start, from the anticipation of him, you know, it took him probably 20 minutes just to come on stage, and the band hyped him up so much, and so you're just kind of sitting there waiting for that. And then just his live show, every move he has, every cue he has with the band is just something to kind of watch. But I'm also a huge Prince fan too, so I've always liked Prince, and I think that would be tough. That'd be tough. I'm kind of undecided right now.
Yeah, that I think this one's tough as well. I mean, you've got some of these on here are the more classic artists, and you'll see some that we have. But yeah, James Brown, of course, the Godfather of Soul. Versus Prince. I mean, it's just.
All right. Well, I say Brown opens for Prince.
So you're going with Prince.
And Travis is emotionally struggling to find an answer on this one. So.
Yeah, and Prince is a guitarist is amazing too. So he's really top notch from there too. So Prince might take the nod.
Okay, we're gonna go with Prince then. All right, next is an odd one: Metallica versus Ray Charles.
I think, see, that one to me puts me right back kind of like we were with Led Zeppelin and Johnny Cash. I mean, I almost feel like Ray Charles has to open for Metallica just because of the difference in musical style. I don't know. Maybe I'm not thinking about it right. Maybe I'm just thinking about what would the experience be like and how would it flow.
Yeah, if you want my two cents, I feel like Metallica knows their place. I know that they have egos, but I still feel like Metallica would be like, yes, we will open for Ray Charles. That's just my two cents, where it's just like, they get it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Metallica at the end of the day, I agree, they've got egos, but I think at the end of the day, they're musicians. And I think they understand and they respect, you know, the history of music. And, you know, I think it's like you say, they know their place. And, you know, they're awesome, but I think at the end of the day, they know they're not Ray Charles. And they respect where Ray Charles falls along that kind of musical hierarchy. I don't know. What do you think, Travis?
I would rather see Ray Charles perform as a headliner in his prime. I think that'd be pretty awesome to see him. A lot of those guys like that can carry. He would be able to carry an audience for, you know, an hour and a half or so. Metallica, they headlined Bonnaroo in 2008. And they were, it was a good show. I enjoyed it. But there is, I think with Ray Charles probably carrying like the crowd, you probably have a little bit a broader appeal in that setting. But I would probably, that's a distant opinion, to rather see somebody, I'd probably rather see Ray Charles.
And I think that they factor that into these festivals, right? I mean, they have to think, who would people rather see? Because it all builds up to those headliners, right? So I think that just what you're saying, Travis, it's like, who would you rather see? And I would think the festivals kind of build that up. I mean, sure, you know, they factor in how big someone is at the moment. But again, we're imagining that everybody is still in their prime. And
well, I said Ray Charles opens for Metallica, and Travis went the opposite direction. So you got to call it, Todd.
I like I said, I just feel like at the end of the day, Metallica would be like, we know our place, and Ray Charles would be the headliner. That's all right. All right.
Then he moves on.
All right, Ray Charles moves on. All right, Elton John versus Queen.
Oh! Goodness, man.
Too British.
Oh.
Yeah.
That one's almost like, I don't even know. I'm trying to think about that and just think about that dynamic right there. I mean, I think either one of them, obviously, as a headliner, is just amazing. Go for it, Travis. What do you think?
I'll go with which one I'd rather see again. I saw Elton John a few years ago at Bonnaroo. He was the headliner on Sunday night. I can't remember which year it was. They had Bonnaroo a couple years ago had back-to-back headliners with Billy Joel, and then they had Elton John the previous year. And Elton John was really cool to see, and I enjoyed it. But as far as like seeing Elton John now, probably versus seeing Elton John in his prime, would be a lot different because of the catalog and the energy and other things that you probably have with it. But it was cool to see him. But I think probably seeing Freddie Mercury and Brahma and Queen and those guys back in their prime would probably. I'd probably rather see that show.
Yeah, I kind of lean that direction too. I mean, I think they're both powerhouses in their own right. But I think, I mean, with Queen, I don't know, man. I think they just bring so much to the world of music that was just unique. That I'm with Travis. I think they would almost have to be the headliner.
Okay. All right. I would agree as well. All right, we're moving on. Garth Brooks versus Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh, Tom Petty's got to open for Garth Brooks. Nobody can out-headline Garth Brooks, period. Go ahead, Travis.
Yeah, that's a tough one, too. Petty a couple times, he's really good live, and you realize when you're sitting there, you realize just, like, how many songs you know, and because it's like his catalog is so big, and there's just songs that you really just kind of like the Beach Boys. When you're sitting there listening to them, you're like, oh, I forgot about this one. Oh, there's that one. Yeah, and you know every word to it. But Garth Brooks, Garth Brooks is an entertainer.
Right.
And he was born for it, and he crosses a lot of different, I guess, the fans and people that would really probably like to see him. That's tough.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, again, this is where you look at egos and things, and I don't know, I got to see Garth Brooks this past December, and it was, I mean, you know, he had just won Entertainer of the Year, and I could see why. I mean, he put on such a great show with so much energy. I mean, he was running around, and then I watched something recently where it was talking about how, I mean, it's basically like a rock show, but with country music. I mean, it's just, it was worth every moment, every penny to go see him perform. And that's why I went, because I was like, I need to go see Garth Brooks. I just have to.
Yeah.
It was on my music bucket list. And so there you go.
Yeah. All right. What do you think, Travis? Call it.
Oh, I'm calling it. I guess we're going with Garth then. Sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, you got to love Tom Petty, but. I know. I mean, that's the thing also with Garth. I don't know if his ego, even though he's as huge as he is, I don't know if his ego would be that big to where he would be like, he might open for anybody.
Oh, I can see that. I can absolutely see that.
So, yeah. Okay. All right. We're going on to next. This is going to be a tough one for Josh, I believe. Elvis Presley versus Willie Nelson.
Oh, my goodness, man. Oh. Man, two of my favorites right there. Jeez, Louise.
Hey, maybe Travis, you can.
Yeah, Travis, jump in, man. This almost feels like a plant to me.
I don't know. That's a tough one. I think you probably. I mean, I love Willie, and I mean, that's Willie. Willie is prime versus Elvis in his prime. I'd say you'd probably have, if you're just wanted to see it, I'd say you'd have to go with Elvis probably because of what he did in that time frame, and also just how, I don't say controversial maybe he was, but just his the way people viewed what he was doing. Whereas, you know, Willie for, you know, 70s country and things like that, I've got, you know, a lot of old classic Willie albums and you know, listened to a lot of that stuff as growing up, but I didn't listen to Elvis as much, and I never really, I respect Elvis and stuff, but I never was really into him as much, I guess, as you should say. But I think probably headliner, I think probably you'd have to put Elvis up there.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. And you know, to me, there's a touch of what we just dealt with Garth Brooks. I mean, the Elvis show, I can only imagine. There's our buzzer. The Elvis show, I can only imagine the energy that would have existed, you know, at a show like the 68 Comeback Special or something like that. So I agree. I think Elvis has got to move on.
Okay. Moving on to another weird one. AC/DC versus Madonna. Both in their prime, which I guess would probably both be the 80s. So this is, again, where you kind of have to put yourself in. You're going to a music festival. You're not worrying about genres. It could be anything. And they're trying to book the festival. You've got two artists that want to play, AC/DC and Madonna. Who headlines?
Go ahead, Travis.
I think you'd probably go with Madonna just because she kind of pushed the envelope on a lot of things of that time frame of the 80s and early 90s. But I think people would probably, if you're going to sell a ticket, they'd probably buy that. Although AC/DC would be more fun for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going the opposite way. I'm saying Madonna's got to open for AC/DC. So, call it, Todd.
All right. I think either show would be just phenomenal. But as far as selling tickets, I have to go with Travis and say Madonna would be the headliner. Because I just think you would get, I just think from a festival and selling tickets point of view, if they know that at the end of the night they're going to get to see Madonna, then they would sell more tickets. And I mean, would I rather see AC/DC? Yes. But I'm just saying from a headliner point of view, then, you know, I would go with Madonna. So.
All right. The Material Girl moves on.
Yes. Next we have the Rolling Stones versus Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton single, Eric Clapton with Cream.
I just wrote down Eric Clapton, but I mean it could be let's just say it could be
anything as long as he was playing.
Right. I mean that was a tough one. Yeah. Do you put down Cream? Do you put down Eric Clapton? Wasn't he in the Yardbirds, or am I getting that confused? But anyways, yes. So the Stones versus Eric Clapton.
All right. I think Clapton has to open for the Stones because, I mean, and I know, Todd, you may take a little different approach on this one than I do, but to me, when you look at the family tree of rock and roll, you certainly have the roots there. Elvis would be one of the roots, but man, right there at the top has got to be the Rolling Stones. And so I think Clapton, whether it's single Clapton when he was in his Cream days, I think they got to open for the Stones. What do you think, Travis?
Yeah, Stones all the way. I like both, but I don't think the Stones, hands down, would have to be the headliner.
Okay.
All right, Stones move on.
All right, so now we have Michael Jackson versus Aerosmith.
Well, if we're thinking, okay, in the way that we have framed the debate so far, I think you've got to go Michael Jackson as the headliner. Because even though for me personally, I would rather see Aerosmith in their prime versus Michael Jackson in his prime, I think from, you know, when you keep talking about music festivals and who's the buildup for and ticket sales and things like that, I think Jackson has to be the headliner.
Yeah, I would say Michael Jackson as well, even though kind of like Josh, I'd still, you know, I love Michael Jackson. It's kind of weird because my first cassette was Michael Jackson Bad. I don't know how old I was at that time when that came out, but I remember I had that cassette. But my first concert that I ever went to, I was probably about 10 years old. I remember my sister took me. My family went to Opryland that day, and for my birthday, after we went to Opryland, I saw Aerosmith, and that was my first, like...
Sorry about that. That. Go ahead.
And I've seen those guys and really enjoy them, but I think if you saw Michael Jackson probably at that time, just everything that's going on, and if you could take him from that height to whenever, you'd probably have to go with Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm just going to throw in my Michael Jackson story real fast. So here I was, I don't know how old I was. I mean, I'll say like seven or eight, whenever Thriller came out. But my family sat down. My dad bought the VHS of the making of Michael Jackson's Thriller video. And as a family, we sat down and watched that video because it was the biggest thing. Yeah. Michael Jackson's Thriller video. I mean, and the whole Thriller album, you know, it's the top-selling album of all time if you exclude the Eagles' greatest hits. But, I mean, that album is just, I mean, it's almost like a perfect album. And I just remember when that Thriller video came out, it was, that's all anybody, that was on anybody's mind. So, yeah, I would agree.
All right,
next. Frank Sinatra versus The Who. The chairman of the board.
Frank Sinatra versus The Who.
Because that's the thing, when I was making this list, at first I started off with top-selling artists, but then you, top-selling, you don't have people like Jimi Hendrix and James Brown, and you don't have Frank Sinatra. Even Elvis Presley, I mean, he sold a lot of albums, but all of them were greatest hits and things like that, but it's just, there, I had to kind of dig a little bit deeper past the top-selling and say, wait a minute, there are artists out there that are like...
Right.
In this context, as far as headlining and shows and things like that, concerts, they've got to be in the discussion. So that's where I was like, Frank Sinatra's got to be in there somewhere.
All right. My take on this one, for what it's worth, I think The Who opens for Frank Sinatra. That's my take.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay. So Sinatra moves on. Another one that I almost didn't put in. So this one is Aretha Franklin versus Van Halen.
To me, Van Halen opens for Aretha Franklin. I know it seems weird, but that's just my feeling on it. What do you think, Travis?
Yeah, I think the same thing.
All right. And the funny thing is, like, you know, again, I printed off all of their nicknames, so. You know, you have so many King of Rocks, and then you've got, of course, Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, so that's why we wanted to call this Rock and Roll Royalty. So, yeah. You know, just trying to tie it together. So, okay, next we have Billy Joel versus Bob Dylan.
What do you think, Travis, on that one?
Classic Dylan? I'd probably take that over Billy Joel, but... It's a tough one, but I think Dylan's catalog and just the fan base for that time, and probably like his, you never know what people will do like after the fact, but Dylan has had that career of, you know, so many artists probably been inspired by him and things like that. So his work is kind of probably, the dude has a ton of albums.
Right.
I know that much. But he's been like, you know, he's kind of transcended over time to be more of, you know, that icon. So I would say probably Dylan.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Dylan's got to move on.
Okay. Next. Oh, man. I did not set this up, Josh, so I'm sorry in advance. The Eagles versus the Doors.
Oh. Well, okay, look. To me, that's really not that difficult, okay? I mean, I love both of those bands. You know, y'all have stories. Here's my short little story. When I was in high school, the Doors were, I mean, my band. That, of course, they had long since played anything when I was in high school. But, I mean, I loved the Doors. I had, you know, this book of poetry that Jim Morrison had written. Everything about the Doors I was consuming. My sister, my oldest sister, she's a little freer than I am, and I remember for my 18th birthday, what she was going to do is she was going to pay for a tattoo that was going to be a lizard that started on my bicep, and its tail wrapped around and stopped at my wrist because I was so enthralled with the Lizard King, Jim Morrison. You know, now in hindsight, I'm really glad that I was a little wiser for an 18-year-old, maybe, than someone else would have been. But But nonetheless, I have to say, look, the doors have to open for the Eagles. I mean, to me, hands down, the Eagles are one of the top three rock and roll bands of all time, as far as I'm concerned.
So Travis, what do you think, Eagles or the Doors?
I agree. The Eagles. I mean, you got the top selling album of all time, so I don't think you can really contest that. But the Doors, I'd love to see the Doors. Jim Morrison and some of those early albums were just awesome. And seeing him live in that live show would be insane.
Yeah.
Okay. So Travis, how are we doing on time? Are you still okay?
Yeah, I'm still good. I got a few more minutes. I'm good.
All right. So we'll try to move a little faster. So
we've done the major brackets.
So that's now we're moving on to what is this, the round of 16? Okay, so Beatles versus Pink Floyd.
I still think Beatles have to be the headliner.
Yeah, Beatles.
Okay. Bruce Springsteen versus Led Zeppelin.
I think Led Zeppelin has to be the headliner.
I agree.
Okay. Prince versus Ray Charles.
I think Ray Charles has to be the headliner.
Tough one. That's
probably good. Yeah, I mean, I just think about, you know, that Super Bowl halftime show with Prince.
Oh, man.
Where he does Purple Rain and it's raining.
Yes,
I'm just like, you talk about goosebumps.
Oh, I know.
You're just like, Yeah, and you're right, Travis. Him as a guitar player, I've gone back now and I've kind of listened or watched some of his live shows where he's playing guitar, and I am amazed. I mean, it's just, I didn't have that. I always appreciated him as an artist and everything, but just whenever I saw some of his just going off on a guitar solo, it's insane. But anyway, well, yes.
I still say Ray. What was your call on it, Travis?
Oh, I said Prince.
All right. Oh. Todd, yeah. Tough luck, buddy. You're the tiebreaker.
Okay. So they're booking the show. I don't know. The only way I can break this tie would be, would Prince step aside? Well, but this again, you're thinking about their prime.
Yeah, you can't take that into account.
You can't think of like. All right, I'm going to go Prince.
All right.
I don't know. That is a tough one though. All right, Queen versus Garth Brooks.
I think Garth has to move on. I think he headlines. What do you think, Travis?
Oh, you're going with Garth. I think you got to get country guy in there.
Okay. Elvis versus Madonna.
Elvis all the way. But what do you think, Travis?
I'd probably go Madonna.
Ah, you got to call it, Todd.
Make it interesting.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, Travis, I was like you where, of course, everybody knows Elvis. But about a year ago, I started getting some Elvis albums. And I listen to his live performances, and then you start to get it a little bit more. So, sure, growing up in the 80s and the 90s, I'm more familiar with Madonna and how big she was, and how still to this day, right or wrong, she's still held in like royalty, basically music royalty. But yes, I'll have to go with Elvis overall.
All right, Elvis moves on.
Just because, I mean, he's the king. So, all right, the Stones, the Rolling Stones versus Michael Jackson.
That one's really tough, but man, I almost feel like I have to go Michael Jackson, and I feel a little bad doing that because I feel like again they're the Stones. They've got to move on. But from a headlining show, if we're thinking about in their prime, I don't know. There's just something about it. I think Michael Jackson takes that one. What do you think, Travis?
That's a tough one, too. Those two are hard to pick from. But I might go Stones. I'm gonna go for another tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker.
Okay, so... I mean, yeah, the Stones... And it's weirder with the Stones because I know some people that don't really care for the Stones. But, I mean, I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, they're the Stones. They're the Rolling Stones. I mean, come on. But considering... And it is tough because I didn't see the Stones back in their prime or anything. But when I think about Michael Jackson from the 80s, where people are passing out at their shows because they can't stand it. They can't take that they're there and they're getting to experience this. They're falling all over the place. So I'm going to have to go with Michael Jackson.
All right, Jackson moves on.
All right, Frank Sinatra versus Aretha Franklin.
Oh, man. Now, that one actually gets more difficult for a different reason, and that's because I see those as much closer in genre and style than maybe some of these others that we've done. But I think between those two, I would have to go Aretha Franklin. What's your call, Travis?
Yeah, I do the same.
Okay.
All right, so she moves on.
Aretha moves on. Bob Dylan versus the Eagles.
I think the Eagles have to move on. But I will always pick the Eagles. I don't care who you put up against them. So, what do you think, Travis?
I'd probably say Dylan.
Whoa. You guys are making stuff on me.
These are all pretty close ones to.
Yeah, they are. I mean,
I hate to be the man having to select that.
Yeah, that would be me. Yeah, I mean, I personally am not. I have not gotten there yet where I appreciate Bob Dylan as much as I should. But I don't know. Okay, they're booking a festival. And this is my train of thought. They're booking a festival. I think Bob Dylan would say, I'll open up for the Eagles. He wouldn't really have a problem with that. And so where he would just be like, so the Eagles would be the headliner. I'm going with that. Just because I just almost like how I think the feeling would be for the festival. That's where I have to go. Okay.
All right. So we've completed basically our, our eight, right? So now we're down to our.
Yeah, that was the round of 16. Now we're down to eight left. So here we go.
All right, let's call them.
The Beatles versus Led Zeppelin.
Oh, man. Well, okay, if we're still saying in their prime.
In their prime,
yeah. Even though that's getting a lot tougher, I still, and I'm not a big Beatles fan, I still think the Beatles have to move on. I still think the Beatles is the headliner. What do you think, Travis?
Yeah, I'd go with Beatles. Tough one, but I'd have to go with Beatles.
Yep. Okay. Next, Prince versus Garth Brooks.
Mm. I still think Garth has to move on that one.
That's tough, too. I might go with Prince.
Tiebreaker.
Oh, man. What are you guys doing to me? All right, so... I'm trying to think. I think, and this is kind of how the train of thought I had with Dylan and Eagles, I think Garth would gladly open up for Prince.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that Garth would just, and that's where I'm going. I'm not saying that either one's better than the other, and this is all subjective, so this is just where I'm like, I think Garth would say, hey, if I get a chance to open up for Prince,
I'm going to do it because he's Prince.
Yeah. So that's where the lack of ego in Garth would maybe not have him as the headliner. That's just my two cents. So I'm actually going to go with Prince on this one.
Oh, I'm taking my toys and I'm going home.
All right. This might be a tough one. Elvis versus Michael Jackson.
Oh, man. What do you think? Travis.
Michael.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know you people. I thought y'all were my friends. I don't even know you. Who are y'all? You know, look, as much as it pains me to say this, I think that that's probably right. I think even in the height of the Elvis hysteria, and you know, I mean, you were talking a minute ago about people going to the Michael Jackson concerts and just passing out because they're like, oh my goodness, I can't even believe we're experiencing this. Mm-hmm. Well, the first place that, I mean, I don't remember, okay, I wasn't around, but the first place historically that idea, that imagery comes into my mind was at Elvis Presley concerts. I mean, you know, those iconic photographs of Elvis in the 50s standing on the stage, you know, at some outdoor venue holding his microphone, you know, to the side, his guitar wrapped around him, and the ladies in the front row looking like they're just about to just, you know, fall over. I mean, that energy there is just, you know, I don't know. And when I think about Michael Jackson, I think the thing that Jackson had available to him that Elvis didn't have was more of the kind of the technological end of things.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think if you put those two head to head headlining, forget it. I still say it's Elvis. I still say it's Elvis. It's just got to be that way.
All right. So Travis, you said Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
Okay, Josh says Elvis. My gut says Elvis. And really, I think that those two are pretty close to the top. I mean, and I'm glad that they're moving on to kind of together, but I don't know. Elvis, well, people still, okay, I'll put it, the tiebreaker will be this for me. People believe that Michael Jackson is dead. People do not believe that Elvis is dead. So that's why Elvis is moving
Elvis
on.
Elvis moves on.
Because he's still alive. All right. Didn't think I was going to use that typewriter. But anyways, Aretha Franklin versus the Eagles.
What do you think, Travis?
Probably have to go with the Eagles.
Yes, 100%.
Okay. The Eagles. All right, we are down to the final four. The final four. So just I'm listing off the final four. So Beatles, Prince, Elvis, Eagles. We've got on this side of the bracket, we've got the Beatles versus Prince.
The Beatles versus Prince?
Yes.
I'd stuff you with Beatles.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't like to do that. But I do think it's the correct decision.
Yes.
And I'll just be honest. This is because I'm not a big Beatles fan. Never have been. But I think if we're looking at this in the framework that you've set it up, it's got to be the Beatles that move on.
Well, and so I don't know a ton of Beatles history, but they stopped performing because they couldn't perform because the crowd was going so nuts that people were screaming and crying and they just couldn't take it anymore. So we're talking about all these artists that are performing and the crowd is losing their mind. When I watched some of those shows, like, wasn't there one in New York City or something? They were playing at a football stadium or something like that. And people were, you couldn't hear the music over the screaming. That's insane.
Yeah. You know, let me point this out. And of course, we've got the visual in front of us that Travis doesn't have, but think about this. We've gone through a number of artists so far who span everything from the 50s to the 80s, 90s, 2000s, right? Look at our final four. Except for Prince, every one of these basically hits their prime in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Yes.
Now that tells you, now that's something that we've discussed before on the show, is this idea, at least that I have, that music quit, well, not entirely, okay? I mean, because I do believe that there are bands out there today that are making music.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at a lot of popular culture today, when you look at a lot of stuff that the kids are listening to, music quit being made a long time ago. and we just started using technology to create sounds.
Yes.
I mean, you will never find a band like the Eagles with the talent that the Eagles had all together like that, or Queen, or, you know, or even the Beatles, even though I don't like them. I just find that fascinating that we've whittled down to the final four, and with the exception of Prince, they're all basically stopping in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so the Beatles have moved on.
All right, the other side of the bracket, we've got Elvis versus the Eagles.
What do you think, Travis?
Elvis versus Eagles?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going with Eagles.
Okay. It's the Eagles. Josh, what do you?
It's got to be the Eagles.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that really who you're voting for? I couldn't tell. When was that? Where'd that music come from? All right. So we are down to the final two to decide the ultimate headliner. Dun, 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 dun. The Beatles versus the Eagles.
We stayed in the animal kingdom.
It's the battle of the Owls.
All right, Travis, we'll give you first run at it, man. Your ultimate headliner between the Beatles and the Eagles.
It's the Beatles.
Did you hear that? It was almost like not, no even thought. It was just like, oh, it's the Beatles. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
When we first started picking these, I knew this was going to come down to it at the end. I could tell the flow of it.
Yeah.
I think people have stories about the Beatles. My mom saw the Beatles in Memphis when she was like maybe 12 years old, I guess. And they had, their short span. They only made music for five or six years, maybe, I guess, as a group before they all kind of went on their own. But I think just, you know, any artist that you ever talk to, they're always going to say they were influenced by the Beatles, even today. And I think seeing them probably as a headliner, like I said, I saw Paul McCartney a few years ago at Bonnaroo, and it was one of those where everybody in that place was watching him. There wasn't anybody anywhere that didn't have an eye on what was going on. And so I think somebody like that is just very captivating, and you really would want to see them.
Okay, well, I still like Travis. I still consider Travis my friend. But ultimate headliner would be the Eagles.
Mm. So you're leaving it up to me for the tiebreaker.
You created the bracket. You've got to make the hard call.
Okay. And as we've gone through this, I have images in my head as far as performances that I've seen. And I try to go back and watch video of these performances. And sure, the Eagles' performances are amazing. Amazing guitars, amazing vocals, harmonies, and everything.
And the lyrics actually mean something. I'll just throw that in there. I mean, not that Yellow Submarines might not mean something to somebody on LSD, but I'm just saying, generally speaking, that the Eagles kind of made sense.
Yes. But here I am, and I'm booking a festival, putting together Bonnaroo.
Right.
And the Eagles want to play, and the Beatles want to play, both in their prime. I've got to go with the Beatles. So, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Beatles, in our bracket,
are the ultimate headliner.
Are the ultimate headliner.
And I feel almost let down. And not just because the Eagles didn't win. I feel almost let down because I feel like we went through this whole process only to confirm what, like, everybody in the world already thinks anyway. Like, I feel like I've had some small input in elevating the Beatles even higher than they were, which is something I never really wanted to do.
But okay, another way to think about, another way you could put this is, and this might be a discussion for another day, is what if everybody was, I guess it's probably the same way we'd be thinking about it, but what if the Beatles were formed today? Because was it right. just a lack of bands sure, like that yeah. back then? I mean, could that be part of it? I mean, was
in other
just...
words, were they really that good, or were they just different at the right time? Right.
I think they were. I think they were good, but I also think. I think it's both.
Right.
I think.
Well,
Sorry.
Go ahead, Travis.
Oh, I just think the artists themselves, in their own right, were. You know, if you look at what they've done individually, George Harrison and McCartney were probably my. I think the top two that I would pick out of that group, right. But I think you know what they've done on their own is still really really good as well. But I think that's the thing with music too, that the time and the moment kind of plays into probably a lot of people's success and what happens.
Sure, sure. And you know,
that's kind of why they were.
You know, you raise.
Were.
Go ahead, Travis.
Oh, that's all.
You know, you raised something though that I think is really interesting, and Todd, I'm sure you can go do the research on this. But you know, if you take, for example, and I mean the Eagles to some degree fall into this, although I feel about it a little different. But you know, you take the Beatles. Let's assume that when the Beatles broke up, Paul McCartney did not go on to do the solo stuff. George Harrison did not go on to do. The solo stuff. You know, I wonder sometimes how much of the Beatles, I guess, how much of what we ascribe to the Beatles' greatness is really Paul McCartney's greatness post-Beatles. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think all of them went on, too, to be kind of, you know, just, you know, entities and figures within themselves, too. Because, I mean, you had Lennon,
right.
of course, you know, and everything that went on with him. But, you know, my favorite one was George Harrison, really. I think I really like Harrison's stuff after that. A lot better than the rest. But
Which really, you know, and that raises something else, which really shows that when you took the Beatles and you broke them up into the individual parts, they were all very talented people.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so we've done the bracket. We've kept our buddy Travis on the phone. I'm sure Travis has other more exciting things to do today. Man, we really, really appreciate you being on this call with us, and I'm sure I'll talk to you about coming on sometime live with us and talking more music or other things. But, man, thank you so much for participating with us today.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
All right,
thanks,
man.
Travis.
You have a good rest of the day.
Appreciate
it. We'll see you.
All right, see you, man.
Thank you. All right, well, we are going to – sorry, just turning that down. We'll wrap up this episode then. So, yeah, thank you so much, Travis, for joining us. As you can see, not only we appreciate your music knowledge, which was great, but, yes, we also needed a tiebreaker, and I didn't want to be the tiebreaker for some of those because some of those are very tough, but – yes, Travis, with your music knowledge, that was wonderful. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, you know, and this one has been really a good episode for us to do because it's really neat when you take all of the various artists like you had and you put them in those brackets like you've got, and we kind of whittle down through them, and we've got all kinds of different genres, and we're looking at all kinds of different things. You know, again, I just find it fascinating that when we whittled it all down, we ended up with the, you know, a band that in their prime, the 60s, you know, 40 years ago, 40 plus. Well, no. 40.
Yeah, math.
Yeah, math. Okay. Longer than you and I have been alive.
Yeah.
Right? They were in their prime.
The Beatles, we say that the Beatles are ahead of their time. Because you think about how people pattern their music after the Beatles, the verse, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus. And maybe the Beatles patterned that off of other people before them. They probably did. But just the idea, the concept of ahead of their time, and now you have all these bands that are basically saying that's the formula. But is ahead of their time the same thing as just like saying they're just copying the Beatles in a way? I mean,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Were they really ahead of their time, or is it just everybody's copying them? Or maybe
right.
Is that the same one and the same? I don't
right.
know.
So we got the Beatles, right?
Yes. So we'll go out.
There they are. They're yelling. The people are going crazy. Yesterday.
Well,
there it is. And this is a podcast for yesterday now. So
thank you for joining us.
It's been
and,
the Beatles.
Yeah, Beatles, ultimate headliner. We appreciate your time. And till next time, we're the Law Dog and Rooster Show.
Whoops. Good show, man.